kids to daycare, is it a terrific idea? Is it going to help their development? Is it a terrible idea? Should you feel guilty about it? Lots of questions on the subject of daycare in this province. On the line with us, Andrea Mrozek of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Andrea, should moms feel guilty if they're sending their kids to daycare, or should they take solace in the fact they're now suggesting, the study suggesting that kids do better in daycare than they would at home with mom?
Well, what I'll say up front is that studies are never quite that clear cut. There's no study that mandates guilt for parents. That's good news. On the flip side, the recent study, the August release that we're talking about today, I don't think that it resolves all the issues that we had seen in prior studies. So basically, I think that flexibility is key, and parents need to be looking at their individual children and figuring out what works for them. The study that came out in August got a lot of media because it seemed to say that it all comes out in the wash, that everything is okay. What the study actually said is that mothers working part-time, this is the ideal situation for children. So part-time work was defined as 30 hours a week or less, and this is what the study conclusions were. At the same time, it still said that the children might show higher levels of aggression or bad behavior in grade one, and also still showed some higher levels of moms feeling depressed when they go back to work in the first year. So it's really a complex topic. It doesn't lend itself well to the media headline, and that's what's difficult about it. I would actually caution parents, when you see something very, very concrete, this is the end-all and be-all of all studies, it probably isn't. It needs to be examined a bit further.
Now, what about the system that we have here? We're often told that the Quebec daycare system, it's $7 a day, it's very affordable, that it is the envy of North America, that every jurisdiction in North America would like to have the Quebec system. Do we have such a great system here in this province?
Well, that's actually not the reality at all. I'm not surprised that government would be pitching it that way because they've put a lot of resources into it. But flexibility is key for families and key for kids. And if you think about the provincial daycare system, it is something that actually, it's not entirely flexible. I think many of your listeners would likely relate to the fact that they can't send their kids to that daycare system part-time for fear of losing the spot, for example. If you look at this recent August study that said part-time work is the ideal, well, the Quebec system immediately doesn't lend itself to that. There has been research also showing that the quality of care is mediocre in Quebec, and I think that the sort of solutions we're looking for aren't going to be one-size-fits-all solutions that come from the top high levels. There are things that Quebec is doing well, I might add, and that is that the tax structure is really beneficial for families in Quebec. Even comparing Ontario and Quebec, I think there's more tax breaks for parents in Quebec, and they have a parental leave that's longer. So I would actively advocate for removal of the Quebec system. I know such thing will never happen, because it's something that's in place and it's inexpensive, but I think that Quebec could have a really great family policy without that.
How would that policy work? What would it be? Would it be sending money to parents equally? Would it take the daycare pot and send it to all parents, including mothers who have decided to stay home full-time or part-time?
Well, that's the ideal, I think, is to have families allowed to keep more of their own money, I think parents who don't use daycare are actively discriminated against in systems like the one that Quebec has. What is fair is to give parents more of their own money. The tax credits that Quebec already has and some of those benefits could be strengthened. Family income splitting is one way to allow parents to lower their tax burden. That's something that could work well as well. So it's too bad, I think, that Quebec went that route. It's something that's straining the system a lot when you look at the big picture of government and costs and debts and deficits. Now we're moving away from a child care discussion, but it's a very, very expensive proposition, and I think there are better ways of spending that money.
If you have any questions, Andrea Mrozek is my guest of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. What are the advantages? What should parents worry about at a daycare center? What should they be looking for? If you have any questions or comments, 514-790-0991. You can also text your question to 514-800. You're listening to the Tommy Schnurmacher Show on CJAD.
The Tommy Schnurmacher Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
The biggest problem facing daycare, on the line with us, Andrea Mrozek of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Other than the whole issue of flexibility not being available, what do you think is the biggest problem facing the daycares in Quebec?
Well, I would guess it's likely the quality of care, which was studied and looked at, and it came out that kids were safe. That's a good thing, but they weren't really learning, and the quality of care came out as mediocre. So that's something that people in Quebec are aware of. That study was well publicized at the time, and I'm not sure what strides have been made to correct it since then. I think there's been a lot going on in the Quebec politics side of things when it comes to the daycares, and that's a different field, but probably the quality of care. I'm not sure where access stands. There used to be wait lists as well, so that's something that whether you live in Quebec or outside, it's important to realize, I suppose, that the provincial systems don't solve every problem. It's often said there's long wait lists without that type of system, but apparently there's wait lists with it as well.
What are the signs of a good daycare center and the signs of a bad one?
You know what? I think that's getting a bit out of my realm. I think that there's those who gauge the quality. This public policy arena, I read the research, I read the studies, showing the effects of care, sometimes going to grade one, sometimes looking all the way to age 15. So as a public policy analyst, it's probably not my strength to comment on quality of daycares and what parents should be looking for. What I do very, very firmly believe is that parents are in control and parents have the capacity to ask all the questions and to be the ones who are in charge and ask tough questions and see what's happening at the daycare, and they have every right to do so, and they should do so, because this is their kids they're talking about.
Well, actually, the reason they don't ask whenever I've talked about this before, Andrea, is because of what you brought up before having to do with access. There just isn't nearly enough access. If they find one, they take it, unless it is absolutely disastrous. You mentioned in your piece about this study that the conclusion was that the high quality early child care can mean an improved academic outcome, and it helps mitigate bad behavior. Isn't that a good reason for parents who stay at home with their kids to wonder why they're doing that, if the child would have improved academic outcome at the daycare center and not be as much of a bully?
Well, it's high quality care mitigates the effects of the aggression that come out later. It doesn't say that high quality, it's actually there's more risk of having some of those behavioral problems in care and the number of hours of care. High quality care can mitigate those negative effects. So parents at home, I think, ought to be encouraged. If that's the decision they've made, it's a good one, it's a solid one. There certainly are not going to be any astounding benefits, lasting benefits that come of putting your child in care. Sort of risky, I think, with this is because it is really tough work to be home with your kids, and oftentimes you're taking a hit financially as well, and then a study like this comes out and you think to yourself, well, what am I doing? Because it's just tough work. But I think parents who make that decision should be encouraged in knowing that it's the right thing for their child at that time. The risk of the Quebec system, I think, is it puts out the provincial daycare system as the option, and so then parents who choose something else, be it private daycares or family care or what have you, feel like they're on the outs with what everybody else is doing. I think flexibility is key, and sometimes children aren't meant to go into daycare. They're not ready. Sometimes kids aren't even ready for kindergarten, forget about when they're 6 months old heading into care. So I think that the risk of the big sort of systems is that parents will use them irrespective of what their child is facing and how their child is geared.
In the studies that you've looked at, did you see any that pointed to the risks of sending a six-month-old baby to daycare where the caregiver ratio is 5-1?
Well, and that's something that is definitely worth talking about. That would be one of the things parents should be looking for, because high-quality care should be care that has a good staff-child ratio. And this is difficult to get because it's so expensive. And so that is something that parents should definitely be concerned about and looking at. And you can only imagine if you're home, for example, right now with 1 6-month-old, how you feel if you had 4 more. That's a concern with the Quebec system. The ratios are a concern in Ontario, too. I'm sitting in Ottawa, and they talk about the all-day kindergarten and having very, very high ratios of children to staff, many kids in one space. So that's something that would decrease the quality for sure.
Andrea Mrozek is my guest of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. What can we expect to see in the future? What policy changes would improve the system, and would they be very expensive? 514-790-0991. If you have any questions, start talk, text your comments to 514-800. You're listening to Tommy Schnurmacher on CJAD.
The Tommy Schnurmacher Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Working parents and guilt. Andrea Mrozek of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is my guest. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal about that, on working parents and guilt. And it said that many surveys and studies showed that working parents, especially moms, feel more guilty than stay-at-home parents. Is that right?
Well, I'm not familiar with the Wall Street Journal article that you're referring to. I know that they show the higher levels of feeling depressed for mothers who are working when their children are in care below the age of 12 months. I don't think that this should be a question of guilt versus not guilt. It ought to be a question of what works for your family and what is right for your child. And the tough thing, I think, with women is that we often worry a lot, and in particular about our children. So the question of guilt is always going to come up, but really I feel like if a parent have come to a good agreement in their family, then there is no cause for guilt. If you do feel guilty, then maybe you ought to examine what you're doing.
Speaking on the subject of guilt, in that same Wall Street Journal, one reader mentioned, "I wonder if there's something wrong with me because I feel absolutely no guilt about sending my child to daycare and working, or am I just evolved enough to already know that it would be silly to stress about it? Is some of this mom guilt a myth? People just think they should feel guilty, so they pretend that they are. I know that my daughter gets so much more from school, instruction, socialization, etc., than I could possibly give her at home."
Well, mom guilt is not a myth, that author. So I think from the number of women I'm friends with and working with, et cetera, it's really something that people struggle with. If you're able to put it so much entirely out of your mind, then good for you. But I think there's a lot of women out there who do worry a lot about what their children are doing and whether they're taking the right steps at this particular stage in their lives. I guess, you know, nobody ever really wished on their deathbed that they spent more time in the office, did they? So there's that factor as well, that children are only young once and you only have that opportunity once. That only increases the guilt. Again, I'm not in the guilt business, just looking at what families work together to decide. And there's a lot of forms of care that are very good that involve, say, family members, extended family, collectives, arrangements where parents are present in the daycare for one or two or more days a month, for example. So there's a lot of different arrangements, and guilt is not the point. It should just be what's workable for your family.
It's part of the problem in this province that it's one size fits all. In other words, you're sending your child from morning till night 5 days a week, or else that's it, that's all?
I think that's been shown to be a problem, and that then children are so highly structured from an early age that they don't know how to free play, that they don't know what to do with themselves when they're not in a highly structured environment. That is a risk of the one size fits all and the early entry into what has to be a structured environment. When you're pulling lots of children into one place, you certainly aren't going to be basing it on the needs and desires of the one child, you know, who needs a nap time when, for example. There's less freedom in that type of environment. I think that is one of the risks of putting children into a really structured environment early on. And from daybreak till nightfall, often you hear of children who are picked up, it's late in the day, they've been there since early morning. So that sort of thing can be very tiring for small children as well.
We all have time for about one more question. Whenever I've touched on this topic before, I get calls from stay-at-home mothers who feel that they are the ones who are under attack. They're made to feel guilty for ignoring their careers, and they're saying that it's a cheap daycare is available, and that there must be something wrong with you if you're a stay-at-home mom. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that's a terrible shame, because really there's so many benefits and fun things that moms are doing with their kids at home. And at the end of the day, if that's what they want to do, I think that they should take strength in knowing that their children are happy to be with them, that there's attachment bonds that are forming and will remain for the rest of their lives. Certainly, the daycare wars are very heated, because it's also very personal. But moms who stay at home should not feel under attack. That's actually for centuries what happened in our world, and now we've moved into different models, and some of those work well, and again, flexibility is key. But moms who stay home should feel encouraged that they're doing good things for their kids that are going to be lifelong.
Thank you so much. Andrea Mrozek of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada has been our guest.